Hello, I'm Pastor Rick, and welcome to our podcast. I hope that the message that you're about to hear will bless and encourage you today.
How many are glad that He came to make all things new again? Amen. So, even Jesus needs sunglasses today. Look at Him. He's just struggling with those lights now. But that's why I have sunglasses on. You guys know that. If you're new, then you know that. You don't know that I'm legally blind and I have to wear these to be able to see my notes. So I want to thank Priscilla for working so hard on that song. And it was a little out of her comfort zone, but she worked and she worked and she worked and she nailed it. So thank you so much, Priscilla. And thank you for all the Masters mechanics who put so much work and effort into what's going to be a vehicle that travels all over the Midwest sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ through song and through preaching. And it's a bed in there if you go in and look at it, because I'll never have to stay in a hotel room again. So I'll just sleep in my van down by the river if I have to. So I want to bring you this message today because Restomod for God. I told Evan the title. By the way, let me just say something about Evan. He preached last week and knocked it out of the park. That was awesome, man. It was a really, really great message. Let him know you appreciate him stepping in for Pastor Rick and helping out. But, man, that was a good message. So, Restomod for God. What am I talking about? I figure if I ever start a church again, I'm going to call it the Restomod Assembly of God. I think that's what I'm going to go with. Restomod Assembly of God, because of the message that comes along with this. So, Resto stands for restoration. Evan wasn't quite sure. And mod stands for modification. And so when you look at that van again out there, it's not a restoration. We did not restore it to its original place and its original being. What we did, we restored and we modified. And so you're going to see some of these parts here are now irrelevant. They've been left behind. They're never going back in. This is a restomod for God. This is a restored modification. And I began to think about what that means for us, what that means to us as Christians. Are we just restored or have we been modified? And so I submit to you today, I'm wearing my Hauser jersey class of 1982 because I'm kind of one of those guys that likes to go back in time. But I want to tell you something. When it comes to my relationship with God, when it comes to my Christianity, I do not want to be restored to what I used to be. I want God to take some things out and leave them behind. I want to be able to take my hands off of some old stuff and get some new stuff. See, I'm not just restored, but I'm modified. I'm a restomod for God. And if God's going to use me to the way He wants to use me, to the extent of my gifts and my abilities that He's given me, I have to live in a modified state of mind. I have to make sure that I'm always looking to leave something. Sometimes it's not bad stuff. This is not bad stuff. Somebody might want it to put in their restoration, but we've modified ours. We're not going back. And see, when you receive Christ as your personal Savior, this is where you are. You're not just restored. Restoration, you have eternal life heading your way. But God has modified you, and the question is, have you accepted the modifications? The question is not whether He has or whether He wants to or what He wants to do. He's made it clear to you because you know Him. The question is, have you accepted the modifications that God had planned for your life? See, He comes to make things new again, to make it better. If you see in the progression of this build, in this first picture of the blue and white van, that's where we started. Not just a blue and white paint job, but a blue and white paint job with house paint. Two or three coats of it, I believe. Chad said the goal is to never see blue on this van. That took a year and a half. Sanding, grinding. I want to tell you something. When you follow God and you begin to walk in the modifications that He placed in your life, it could take a year and a half or longer. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It matters that you're moving towards the restoration and the modification. And so today I want to talk to you about that a little bit. See, in the retail business, they say there are three critical and crucial things for success. What are they? Location, location, and location. When we talk about our modification, it's the same way. And if you really want what the Lord has for you in 2022 and beyond, the principles remain the same. It's all about location, location, location. And when I talk about location, I'm talking about this. A modification happens from the inside out, not the outside in. From the day we got this van, we started tearing it apart from the inside out all the way down to the bare metal, as you see in one of these pictures. That was a necessary process to see what it is that God wanted us to do next. And so when we look at this, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 23, if you'll do that for me. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 24. See, unfortunately, way too many believers and unbelievers will miss what God has for them all because of a positioning problem. It's all about positioning. His word is full of examples of an inside-out theology that leads to his abundance. It's an inside-out theology that gets what God wants for you. Look at Matthew chapter 23, verse 24. It says, blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. In verse 26 it says, blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, then the outside, that they may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but, there's always a but there, inside they are full of dead men, dead men's bones and uncleanness. And look at this next verse, verse 28. Even so, you also outwardly appear to be righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. See, we know how to dress up, don't we? We know how to dress it up when we want to. We know how to put on a good show. But God sees right on the inside. See, your modification doesn't happen on the outside. Yeah, that paint job is beautiful, and it came together, and Mallory got the logo ready, and then I took it to another girl, and she applied it all, and man, I was on my knees just thanking God. It was so beautiful, first time I saw it. But the inside wasn't done. You opened the door, and it was bare metal still. There was nothing. And so we began to work on the inside. See, there's a balance in our Christianity that says it's okay to look good on the outside. I'm not telling you not to keep in shape and dress nice and all that. It's okay to do that. But if everything that you are is based on what you see on the outside, you'll never see the things that God wants for your future, because true modification comes from the inside out. Everybody walks up to the van. They said, oh, that's cool. And I open the door and they say, wow, you got a bed in there. That's right, because I'm never staying in a hotel again. I'm going to preach all over the Midwest, and I'm going to stay in that van. I'm going to stay where the provision is. And so when we think about this, look what it says in this verse again. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And while this story is mostly about hypocrisy, it is also about positioning. See, Jesus is dealing with people who are only concerned about the outside. That's who he's talking to. He understands this, and he knows deep in his own heart, he knows until I get them to see from the inside through their heart, they'll never get what I have for them. How it must hurt the Father when he has so much to give to us, but he can't get it to us because we're so focused on the outside appearance. But I'm convinced of this. If Jesus had chosen to be a doctor rather than a carpenter, he would have been a cardiologist. Amen. Because he wants to work on your heart. True modification comes from location, which is inside. Because what we're talking about is a heart condition. And the heart works best. You don't have to be a medical doctor to know this. I've seen some of these programs, and they open people up, and they lay the heart out, and they lay the organs out. And they're functioning. But they don't function best from the outside. They function best from the inside. And God wants to lay us open like that and check the condition of our heart. And the heart works best from the inside out. They were concerned about two things: self-glorification and self-preservation. They didn't want anything to do with Jesus because they saw him as a threat. And to self-preserve who they are on the outside, to have their prestige and their aura about them and the respect that came with their robes or their turbans or whatever it might have been, they knew that Jesus was a threat to that because Jesus started talking about something in here. They didn't talk like that. It was all about the appearance. They sought recognition and provision of the world, neglecting the matters of the heart, which are justice, mercy, and faith. But Jesus said, on these things will you dwell, and you will see the abundance of what I have to offer. Jesus calls them a brood of vipers and the sons of hell. That's right from your Bible. That sounds like a good name for a small group if you go to the satanic church, sons of hell. But we got groups like the Masters of Mechanics. We got groups like Real Men. We got groups like Guitars, God, and the Grill, and a whole bunch of others that represent what? God. To give him the glory. Real men get together to give God glory. The Masters of Mechanics, we don't just work on stuff, but we talk and we pray and we listen to each other and we become great friends. This group of people that I called upon up here, each one of them I believe I could call at any time. Mallory's done way more for us than just that one logo. She designed the Masters Mechanics shirts. She designed my brand new CD cover called Who's Your Roots, and that'll be coming out soon. I want to tell you something. We're a bonded family. Even Lori at our small groups would bring us the food. So she's my favorite. But we bring in young men like Talib and Dominic, and we show them and teach them. I want to tell you something. Our group represents what's going on in our heart. Our heart condition is to serve each other, serve others, and train up the young people. That's a good heart problem. That's a good place to be. Jesus calls them a brood of vipers and the sons of hell. It didn't matter that they were going to church or that every week they paid a tithe. It didn't matter. Yes, even praying. They were great at praying on the outside. But they were always on the outside looking in. Every week, we get phone calls asking for help. We get knocks on our doors from people that need assistance because they know who we are and what we do because we're not ashamed of the gospel or his name and we put ourselves out there. They're looking for provision from God, and here's the problem. They don't knock on the door for the things of God. They knock on the door looking for God's things. Did you hear me? They're not looking for the things of God that will propel them and set them free and move them forward into God's provision. They're not looking for the things of God. They're just looking for God's things. His money, his provision, his whatever it might be. That next thing to help them get through the next month. I've been in this ministry my entire career, working with people in poverty-stricken communities. I get that. That's where God called me. That's what I do. But we don't ever help people stay homeless. You got to be careful not to help people stay where they are. They need to be a restored modification. They need to get their restoration and then see what God has for them from that point on. And if you're not going to show them that, if you're just going to give them a meal, if you're just going to give them $5 and never share the gospel with them, I can say this because I'm not your preacher. Shame on you. Give away the gospel. Give them $5. That's okay, but pray with them. At least ask if you can pray with them. People have a different theology. People have a different opinion on that. You know, God will take care of that. You see, that's the problem with too many Christians. We'll give the money and say, well, God, you take care of their inside. No, that's our job too. It's our job to lead them in a relationship, in prayer, share your testimony. The Bible says they're overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Yep, we can't do anything about that. He did it. But it also says by the word of our testimony. If you can't tell your story, you need to get practicing. Because nobody can tell your restoration and modification story like you can. Because it happened to you. They're just looking for God's things instead of restoration and modification. I want us all to get this today very clearly. Listen, it is not an outside-in theology. It's an inside-out theology. Jesus doesn't want to manage your exterior problems. Because he's into restoration and modification, but he wants to be your interior decorator. He wants to shake things up on the inside. Because if you get things right on the outside will take care of itself. I promise. Turn to the book of Mark, chapter 7, verse 15. See, there's a reason your heart condition is so important. And listen to what Jesus says in this verse. Mark chapter 7, verse 15. Everybody, listen to what it says. There is nothing. Everybody say nothing. Say it loud, nothing. It says, there is nothing that enters a man from the outside which can defile him. Man, that caught me off guard a little bit when I first saw that, Pastor Rick. Let me read that again. There is nothing that enters a man from the outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him. How can it come out if it's not on the inside? Okay, but things that come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. Let that sink in for a minute. You know what this means? Nothing you have seen or heard in your life, tasted, smelled, or touched can defile you. Or make you unclean. Nothing the world has to throw at you, and they're throwing everything. Can I get an amen? They are throwing everything at us. Through politics, through the television, through radio, through music, through our school systems, through our daycare. I don't care where you are, what you do, the world is throwing everything at us. See, this verse implies that where sometimes our eyes and our ears have no choice, our heart always does. God's not concerned that it's getting in because that can't defile you. What he's concerned about, have you been restored and modified to a degree that you can handle it with your heart from the inside out? Our heart always does because we are restored and modified. It makes us think first from the heart. What do I do with this thing that has entered me? How do I process this situation? It implies that we have a filter in our heart that decides what gets in and what gets out. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to have that filter working from the outside in. Don't let things come in. Don't put yourself in a position where they can come in. But once they're in, it's the heart and only the heart and only the modified heart that loves God can handle that properly, process it, and expel it. And you will know your heart is right when you find yourself knocking from the inside out. We knock from the inside out. See, no matter what we do, God's going to work on your heart. He loves you too much to do anything else. Seeking after the things of God rather than trying to get your hands on God's things. Now, last night we did our fundraiser, and it was amazing. Priscilla came and sang, and we had another band coming and playing, and we did some songs from my new CD, and we preached the gospel. And our goal was $15,000, and I know in my head, just from what I know people have already given, we're somewhere between $17,000 and $20,000 raised. Even this morning, two of you came to me and said, I'm sorry I couldn't be here. Here's a gift. Another person said, hey, we're going to send something. We couldn't be there. So we're going to go way past our goal. And if we're just concerned about how much money we could raise because we have things that need to be fixed on the farm, if we're just concerned about that, that money is going to be there because people gave it, but it won't be as effective if we were first praising God from the heart to say, God, whatever you decide, we're good with that because we know you got us. Seeking after the things of God rather than trying to get your hands on God's thing. Seeking after God. Don't let Satan trick you into settling for crumbs at the corner when there is a feast going on in the house. Start knocking from the inside out. Let your modification be more than just your salvation. Restoration brings our salvation. He restores us, brings us back to him. But that doesn't change everything. The modifications that he makes are what changes everything. The things that he asks you to leave behind, I probably told you this story once, but at our old church, we brought in gang members on purpose. We brought in drug addicts on purpose. We had rules for them to live by and when they were there and all those kind of things. And we had many services where people brought their addiction to the altar and laid it down. Cigarettes. Drugs. I'm not kidding. Drugs. Whole big thing of marijuana seeds was brought up one time and laid at the altar. For a while, I had a whole drawer full of the stuff that people had left at our altars. And then I thought, we have a police post here, too. I probably should get rid of all that stuff. But it was one night, and I preached a message, and people left things at the altar, and we closed down the sanctuary, and we moved over to the coffee house where we were having a concert, and I forgot something on the pulpit, so I ran back over to the sanctuary, and there was that same guy who had laid down his cigarettes picking them back up. During the sermon and during the altar time, there was a little process of restoration that was going on, and God was trying to get his attention and say, you need to lay these things down. And he was even trying to modify his behavior, but he didn't quite get there on the modifications. He laid it down for about 17 minutes. It's going to take more than that, y'all. What's God asking you to leave behind that he never wants you to touch again? When you get that, you will be in this process and in this mindset of modification. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1. See, look for God to hear you when you knock from the inside out. Look for him to hear you. Look for someone to notice when you knock from the inside out. You see, when we position ourselves to work from the inside out, we prepare ourselves for the Lord to speak on our behalf, to move on our behalf. This is crucial for all of us today. Listen, if you're just still interested in his stuff, keep knocking from the outside in. You might even say, well, God bless me, and you know you're not where you need to be. Keep knocking from the outside in if that's all you want. There are a lot of church doors in this neighborhood, and if you keep knocking long enough looking for something, one of them will probably give it to you. But make sure you don't settle on the one that just gives you something from the outside in, but that they're concerned when you knock on their door about your inside out. That someone takes the time to pray with you, ask you really what's going on, so they can offer the help that you need. Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Have we forgotten the gift that we have to give away? It's Jesus from the inside out. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1 says, the preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. What are we to prepare? Our hearts. God will speak with his tongue to our heart preparation, to the modifications that we're accepting. And saying, thank you, God, I don't want to, but I know I have to. Thank you, Lord, I don't want to let go of this, but I know it's for my better because you said so. See, no matter how good you make it look on the outside, God will still have the final say of your condition from the inside out. He knows our hearts. So dress it up however you want. According to verse 2, it says, he won't check your handwritten resume. That's not what he's looking for. But he will judge by your spirit. Can't you just tell in some people when you meet them sometime whether they're just looking good from the outside or, man, they're sincere from the inside? Have you ever been around a person that is so in tune with God that you just began to weep in their presence? That's happened to me on many occasions. And I know for sure that I can see the Spirit of God oozing from their pores. Verse 3 says that your heart condition will reflect your commitment and establish your thinking. Oh, that's pretty good. Your heart condition will reflect your commitment. In other words, it'll show it. It's going to stand out and establish your thinking. Verse 5 says, a proud heart will be judged as an abomination and destroyed with all who join it. A proud heart will be judged by God and by people. A proud heart will be judged as an abomination and destroyed with all who join it. You say, Pastor, how do we keep our hearts pure and walk in righteousness in this evil world today? Have you been listening to our pastor? He's been giving us guidance and directions and teaching, even through the internet and texting and all the things that he does and all what the staff does. Have you been listening? Have you been watching? Here's how you do it. You listen to those who God has placed in authority over you, and you walk with confidence once you've confirmed through the word that they're telling you the truth and that you know you're not alone. Remember this, your debt for sins, past, present, and future have been paid in full. How we live every day in appreciation and in awe of that gift is what pleases God. That we acknowledge what he's done. That he came to make things new again for your family, for your friends, for your finances, for whatever it might be. Now look at verse 6 in Proverbs chapter 16. It says, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. What's atonement? Payment. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. By the fear of the Lord, we're not just saved, but we are modified. And modification indicates that you're walking away from some stuff. That you're leaving some things behind. That you'll never be the same again. If you're the same and you're just going back a little ways, man, I don't even want to go back to when I was 30, when I've been saved for about 8 years. That's great. That was a good time in my life, but I don't want to go back there. I don't want to be restored to that time. There's too much that I've learned over the next 25 years after that that make me want to say, I'm glad I'm where I am today in my relationship with God, and I'm glad that he's modified me to this point. And man, do I have more work to do. Do I have more stuff to leave behind? Lift your hand if you got something you need to leave behind right now. If you'll be honest and say, there's something, man, I got to leave this. I got to put this down. May not even be bad. May not even be considered sin. But God needs it out of the way so he can have you do what he wants you to do. To live a life pleasing to God, that's what we should want to do. That's what a modified Christian is interested in. To see his goodness and abundance pour out on our families, on our churches, I must keep knocking from the inside out. Last scripture reference, go there, Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. And I want to share something with you real quick as we're running out of time that God showed me. I've read it before. I've read the Bible several times, but when I saw this, it applied so much so that I was modifying my sermon while worship was going on. I didn't have a choice. I'm sorry, Pastor Nathaniel. I had to modify it because God was speaking to me from my heart. In the book of Job, it talks about creation. It talks about how we should know God and we shouldn't have any excuse to know that God is real. In the book of Job, where there's questioning and things going on, it takes him to a place where it says, listen, Job, listen to me. If you're not sure, you see, this is where people are when they get right before they get saved. They think there's probably a God. They're searching. They're looking. But you know what the Bible says? It says, ask the beast. You go, wait a minute, ask the beast? Yeah, ask the beast of the field. I didn't create them with intellect. I created them with instinct, and yet they know that I'm real. We have all the intellect of any being ever being created, most created with just the instinct. He said, ask the beast. Even they know I'm real. He said, ask the bird in the air. They seem to fly aimlessly, and all they do is eat bugs and fly around and make babies and all that kind of stuff. And they don't have the intellect you have, but you know what? They know who I am. The beasts of the field, the birds of the air. Then he said, you're not convinced? Ask the fish of the sea. They don't have the intellect that you have. They only have instinct. All they want to do is eat. They fall for the same lure over and over and over and over, right? But they know who I am. Here's my favorite. You don't know? Ask the earth. It's dumber than dirt, and it knows who I am. Right? That's what he says. Ask the earth. It knows. Yet we're at that point where I'm not sure God is real, and I'm not this, that, and the other. We have all the intellect. Because we're using too much it up here, and we're not using anything in here, in the heart. We have to seek the things of God. And when we seek the things of God, modification continues to happen. I believe this van will continually modify over the years that we use it. We'll change things here and there. We'll do something here. We'll do something there. But look what it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body and more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. We just talked about them. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to the stature? 1 minute. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. See, it's more than restoration. It's modification. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. And here's the most famous verse in the passage. But what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, because it's more than knowing, it's about being. It's more than knowing who God is. It's about being the restored modification that he's making you into and turning you into to affect the kingdom of God. Worship team, will you join me? Listen, when you seek first and learn to knock from the inside out, you're living a restored and modified Christian life. A restored and modified Christian life. Everything will be easy, right? Negative. But everything will be better. Your food, your drink, your clothing, your issues, all that goes away because he already knew it before you asked for it. I'm not making this up. It's right there in his word. See, inside out seeking destroys worry and activates God's adding machine. What did it say? Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be what? Added unto you. How will I know I'm walking in his will, Pastor Tim? From the inside out. Listen. When it's truly happening, you'll know it. When you begin to lay things down and put things aside and turn things off, you'll know you're in the modification stage of your restoration. It's so obvious, not only to you, but even your enemies will pick up on it. You see, a restored and modified Christian stands out. They don't even have a choice. Is something that oozes from them from the inside out. A restored and modified Christian stands up when someone's in need. Not just to provide provision, but direction. Faith to help build them up. See, a restored, modified Christian, they're just not the same. They can't be. See, once you begin to practice this theology of an inside-out restoration and modification, you can't be the same. We did a study not long ago, Pastor Rick, at our church, 8 or 9 years ago, I guess now. And the message behind it was this. You cannot, listen to me, you cannot have a true encounter with God and be the same. If you're the same, you did not have a true encounter with God. Am I right? You cannot claim you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and walk around looking and talking the same. It's impossible. Then you never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I believe that God has brought us to this place with no excuses If the beasts know it and the birds know it and the fish know it and the dirt knows it, then every one of us know that God is real. But it'll take more than that. The demons know that God is real. It'll take modification and transformation. I'm so honored and privileged to be a part of this church, and I'm glad that Pastor Rick allows me periodically to preach. My family is honored to be a part of this church. Because you know why? It helps us to continue our road of modification. We're in a body of believers, of people that care about each other, that pastors that teach us and train us. I want to tell you something. You're out there flying solo and you just wandered in today and you really don't go to church that much. You better get in. Because what God wants to do for you is from the inside out. And that includes the house of God. It includes the house of God. I don't care what the world is saying to you. It includes being in the house of God. It's a part of the restoration modification process. You will find strength in numbers. One cord is easily broken, but a strand of three is hard to break. And I give you way more. You saw my small group or their small group or the one that I'm involved in. Tonight I'll have a bunch of people show up at the small group that I run. We're strong because of each other. Because God told us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You say, Pastor Tim, there's better preachers on TV than you. I can just watch it there. Yeah, they might be better than me, but they don't care about you like I do. They don't care about you like Pastor Rick and Sherry or Evan or Jack and Mary. They don't care. They're not supposed to. That's not their job to care for you. You're to be in a body of believers where you care for each other. Let's do this song.
Thanks for joining us for this message from Columbus First Assembly. If this message has blessed you in any way, would you share it on your social media feeds so that others can be blessed also? If you would like to join us for an in-person service and you're close to us, we are in Columbus, Indiana, then our services start at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings and our church is located on the corner of 10th and Iowa. Once again, thanks for joining us. Look forward to having you join us again soon.